exercise more, lose weight, get organized, learn a new skill or hobby, live life to the fullest, save more money, spend less money, quit smoking, spend more time with family and friends. These are the top 10 resolutions people will set each year. They're great if they work for you, but I think that we can do better because I always hear about people talking about their failed resolutions. We hear articles come February about people who made these grand resolutions like lose weight that are not very specific, and I feel people failing on them. If they work for you, that's great. They've never worked for me. And all three of us here at World Girls HQ have pretty different views on resolutions. One of us doesn't set resolutions. I wonder who, if you can guess which one of us that is. But this is Bitch Out of Water, a show about trying things. Today, Roxy and I will be trying to make our 2023 resolutions because Roxy does like resolutions. I know she loves setting goals.
Oh, for sure, dude. I love a reset. I love a check-in. I love a focus session, and I think that the top of the year is a great time to do that because there's a lot of collective energy where tons of people are looking at their lives and trying to figure out how you can be the best you can be. And I'm obsessed with being the best me I can be in all walks of life, and you do not have to do that January 1, but it is really nice to try to do that at a time where everybody else is doing it, so there's a lot less weird looks or pressure or people around you who are degenerates. You know, a lot of people are the best versions of themselves top of the year. So I think it is one of the best times to check in.
And do you do a certain type of resolution every year, like a number that you hit, or does it change year to year?
Oh, yeah, girl, I got you. I have a whole resolution narrative. I mean, some might say I'm a resolution queen.
Oh, is that what the blogs are saying?
Yeah, I feel like that's what everybody's talking about these days. Like, oh, you know Rox? She's a resolution queen. I'm like, thanks for noticing.
You got a problem? Well, I've got a resolution queen, so.
Straight up.
On the complete opposite side of the spectrum of resolutions, we have our in-house Wednesday Addams, Darina, with us today, who, when we said that we're going to do an episode on resolutions, she's like, no. Basically, I don't do resolutions. Dee, have you never done resolutions? Or are you just like, fuck social norms, I'm not going to participate?
Well, you know, the reason the World Girls work is because we all are very different and have great chemistry and also understand our little quirks. And like, I completely understand Roxy's goal setting goals in life, and Roxy Stryer is a doer, and so she's got her career goals and she's got categories, she's got things that she wants to accomplish in life at her young, beautiful 30 something age, and I think Steph's done them for a little bit as well. I, however, at my 40 year old, about 10 years older than you guys, I am on the period where my goal is literally the same every day. I have like specific goals that I set myself for every day where I'm like, look, I'm going to be a good person. We're all going to die. Don't be a dick. Y'all know how I feel about it. And I'm just going to remind myself every day to breathe, because moving to America, to the United States of America, I realized that everybody is all about time is money. You got to plan for the future because you're going to die. You got to plan for retirement. So I got tired of being told to plan constantly. And back in the day in my 30s, when I had other different types of jobs, my calendar was packed. If you showed my calendar to a person that's an introverted, they'd probably get an anxiety attack. So I am no longer that person. And I have tried to slow down the last few years and take it in day by day and actually enjoy every day is in the present versus worrying so much about the future. And in general, as y'all know, I've always had seasonal depression and I've hated Christmas time and New Year's for several reasons. And New Year's is specifically something that, you know, time is a human construct. So I just have never cared for it. I've gone to the parties. It's fine. I kiss a boy at midnight. I just don't care that much. However, Steph was correct that I said, no, I'm not doing resolutions for this episode. However, I'm happy to hear yours. Always happy to hear what my people have planned, even though I think it's all a social construct.
We do a end of the year World Girls meeting, which I think it kind of depends on how you look at resolutions, right? Because as everybody knows, if you're making a great speech, you have to go to Merriam-Webster's dictionary and define what you're talking about. That's the top of anything that you do. So for my wedding speech on resolutions, here's what I'll tell you guys. The actual definition from Oxford is that a resolution is a firm decision to do or not do something. And I like looking at it that way. You're just making a bunch of choices, right? Like anytime that you... If D is somebody who at the end of the year, it's just not for her, that's totally great. I know D is very self-aware, and throughout the year, she checks in on herself. How are my relationships going? What did today look like? What's next weekend looking like? You know, and I think that that totally works for you. For those of us who might need a little more assistance, really focusing and really figuring out who we are, who we want to be, and what that looks like, I think resolutions are cool to figure out what is your decision on this next year in all different areas of life.
Hearing you two speak back to back after each other about resolutions was cool because you're both right. Dee's like, I'm good enough, and that's my resolution, right? Like, existing, waking up and breathing and being alive is enough. And that's really fucking true, especially at how hard life is. That is so enough. And then also on the flip side of that, if you're like Roxy and I feel this too, where the only thing that will make me more depressed than seasonal depression is not achieving the certain things that I really have a lot of value in and would like make me feel more whole. And so that's why I like goals. I like manifesting. I do vision boards before the new year. And that's how my resolutions are. But they're very specific. Because when I was younger, I tried to do like, get a 6-pack. it's not a good resolution for me because that never happened like that. And then you're disappointed. So if you can just get more specific with it. So Roxy suggested a few topics that we're going to hit today and have multiple resolutions, and each of those being work, family, relationships, world, and other.
Yeah, I think that you made a great point though, Steph, about being specific. The thing I'll add to that is making resolutions you can control, right? You know, there's some things in life that you cannot control. So I think some shit resolutions, and I don't mean this like you shouldn't want these things, but there's nothing you can really do about it, would be like, I'm going to be cast in 17 movies. I actually can't cast myself in 17 movies. So you want littler resolutions that are like, I'm going to submit myself to 10 roles a month on Actors Access, right? Things that you can do. So that breaks down differently in every different area. But as you're talking about, Steph, to be specific, where it might not be something like get a 6-pack. Instead, it might be go to yoga once a week, right? So like something is one of those things is result oriented. The other is action oriented, where you can actually do something about it. Now, will yoga once a week give you a 6-pack? Maybe, maybe not. But you know you can hit that goal. Some people can't ever get a 6-pack. Some people, that's just not what's healthy for their body. So it's less attainable. So I think it's really important to have achievable resolutions so you don't feel like such a fucking failure at the end of the year when you're looking back at your resolutions and you're like, but I wasn't cast in my 17 movies. Why? Because that's a goal that's very out of your control.
Also, for the people that actually make resolutions, probably by the end of the month of January, a lot of people are, you know, have been trying to go to the gym like 5 days a week or something like that, going from zero to like an exorbitant amount to be like, yeah, this is like, dude, like you're a human being. Like you can't just do shit immediately. You gotta like practice. It's all about living every day and like growing and like actually having that discipline to do whatever you're working on, whether it is going to yoga, whether it is like trying to eat vegetables. Like for me, not eating vegetables my whole life, at some point I was like, oh, this is why I'm anemic. All right, I'm gonna eat some spinach every day, little by little, and then I'll like them, right? But that doesn't mean I'm going to love them the next day.
You're so right, Dee. Resolution culture can be very strange. People who want to go 0 to 100 because they have this dream in mind, but sometimes the best resolutions are slow moving, right? Like, instead of saying things like, I'm going to the gym 5 times a week when you're somebody who goes 0 times a week, pick something that's more sustainable, because you might be able to go to the gym 5 times a week for a month, but going from 0 to 5 times for an entire year, very difficult. Maybe start with 1 or 2, or say, I'm going to go to the gym once a week and go on a walk once a week, or something along those lines. Definitely, D. I think that's actually part of the reasons why you're not that into resolutions, is because resolution culture, as I'm deeming it to be, can be really sad and not helpful and annoying. And people who make these like grandiose ideas, like, I'm doing this for the year, and then they fall off of it 2 weeks in, that's fucking depressing.
It's so weird. And I feel bad for people, you know, because we're all humans. Like, we all want to accomplish things in life before we die. Like, I get it. But, you know, growing up, hearing all these people always be like, all right, my checklist, I gotta, you know, graduate, get married, and have kids by a certain age. Like, what are you doing with your life, man? Like, by a certain age, like, you gotta enjoy the periods of youth, and then the middle age, and then the old age. Like, you gotta, like, chill out and see, you know, enjoy the scenery, as opposed to always having to complete the checklist.
Big facts, all about balance, I guess. So that's like one of my focuses this year in general, is when I was thinking about what I wanted to put on these lists, it was things that actually I could achieve and would have significance in how I felt about myself, whether that be introspectively or connectively with the people in my life. So I want to start with work, and I'm gonna go to Roxanne first on what's one or some of your resolutions for work.
It's my most resolution section every year.
What are you, a workaholic?
Yeah. No. What are you, a workaholic? Yeah, I'm a total workaholic, and I love work. So this is the one that I always have the most goals in, because I also have so many different interests in terms of what I do for my career. So some of my goals, some of my resolutions, if we want to call it that, for this year work-wise, are that I have 2 scripts that I'm currently working on, and I'm at least going to finish a draft of both of those this year. I hope to actually go further than that, but I'm going to finish both drafts. And then I want to either, as I've been talking about for a long time, I'm either going to make my Hanukkah movie this year, or I am going to put myself in a position this year to make my Hanukkah movie in 2024. So I either need to make it this year or fully finance and have a logistic plan for the top of 2024. And then I am going to finish my acting reel. I haven't added any of my Always Lola stuff, or there's a couple other things that I'm supposed to shoot this year. So I want a refreshed acting reel. And then World Girls wise, we're going to know more when we do our World Girl meeting, but this is where my financial goals come in too. I want to find a great balance for World Girls on making it financially viable for us, and also keeping in line exactly what we want to do with our company. So, like, still standing by our company mission while figuring out a way to make it financially viable enough that we can live.
Hell yeah.
Great, dude. And I'm so excited about those, because you're actually going to do all of them. And it's funny that you started with the 2 scripts, because I'm the same. I have 2 scripts. One of them I'm working on with Rox, and then the other one's separate. And those 2 scripts are getting finished in 2023, but hopefully moving forward with them. Then the third script would be your Hanukkah script, right, Rox? That's not included in your 2 scripts.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the third script's the Hanukkah script, which is a completed script. Things can always be changed and grow, but I'm at a good place with that script that I'm starting to put this out into the universe. I have some production companies that are looking at the script right now, actually, and it would be nice for somebody to want to produce the movie. However, it's really good. It's a Hanukkah movie. I think I can finance it by going to Jewish organizations and tapping producers that do this kind of thing. And I think I can make it pretty low budget. and I'm going to do that in 2023, or I'm going to have solidified plans by the end of the year. But I'm hoping I make it this year. It's just things like this take a lot of time. And I learned with the pandemic that setting things like saying, I'm going to make this year, sometimes that's actually detrimental to you because maybe you won't do the best job if you say, I'm going to make this year. I'm going to put as many ducks in a row this year to make this. And if it pushes me into 2024, so be it. But my intention is to make it this year.
Love that.
I like that.
Because I only know that there's this one movie that exists with Adam Sandler. And the, what is it called? Crazy Eight Crazy Nights or something like that. And that's about it.
Yep.
So I would, I mean, you're going to make a Roxy movie, which is great, but I'm hopeful that it'll be something, you know, the Jewish version of my Gremlins or my Batman Returns.
Aw, isn't that so sweet? That's the nicest thing Dee could wish for me. I hope you make a Jewish version of Gremlins.
She loves you.
That's love.
Yeah, dude, that'll be sick. Can't wait to see all that shit happen. And I like that mindset. I feel similarly. Like, as an artist, we put pressure on ourselves to like get it done, finish it, see it on the big screen, like get those big breaks. These are the words that have been sprinkled into our minds forever and like the things that we're most excited about. But I think sometimes that it gets you almost off the path because you're thinking about the outcome as opposed to just making the product. And that's why I feel similarly with the two scripts that I want to do. And then similarly in a financial set, I feel like this year, entering this year, I kind of want to shake my game board up and like completely reset the pieces and look at my career through a little bit of a different lens. And so I have more of a obscure second resolution for career, which is really look at everything that I have in my life right now, the things that are making me feel excited to wake up and go do, the people that I'm working with that make me feel excited to work with, the ones that I might not anymore, how I can move those around, and then prioritize the time that I have to the things that I really want. And then hopefully that shifts my what I'm creating a little bit, if that makes sense.
What kind of shift do you mean? Like a mental shift or an actual shift in the things you are creating?
I think a little bit of both. Like I really want to challenge myself to become more of an entrepreneur with my career. And look at my what I'm doing and how I'm doing it through not only a personal and artistic lens, but a business and financial lens, like longevity in creating and being smart about it and knowing when to capitalize on things, what's wasting my time that's actually not going to have longevity. What could I be putting more time into that is has that what I want for my longtime career?
As you're talking about that, I'm wearing our We're All Gonna Die, So Don't Be a Dick shirt, which is interesting you talking about your entrepreneurial angle because you created this.
Yeah.
Because you're also a little fashionista, so.
Hey, that's right. You're actually, that's true, Steph. Your first actual fashion product has been out into the world as of 2022.
That's true. That's exciting. Look at me.
And what are you thinking about doing as a paid professional singer?
A lot. I'm thinking open mic night every Friday. You're all invited. Address TBD.
If you just listen to this podcast and you don't watch our show on YouTube, then you don't understand that you're missing out on Steph's angelic demonic voice.
Yeah, I'm the best singer
ever.
On the next set of resolutions, I want to go to you, Roxy, about any resolutions you have with family.
Yeah, I want to see my family 3 times this year. So as you guys know, I live 3,000 miles away from my immediate family, which I don't think anybody who doesn't live far from their family can possibly understand. Like, when I moved out here when I was 18 years old, it was not a thought in my mind that you are not accessible to your family. If I want to go home, especially as we found out during the pandemic when you couldn't even get on a flight, I couldn't see anybody. There was no version of me that could get to my loved ones, which is so miserable. And as people are getting older and relationships are forming, you know, my sister is in a loving, committed relationship right now, and I have met him one time. My dad is about to be 65, and I barely get to see him. And I love my brother and his wife as well. So, you know, it's just a bummer to me that sometimes I go a whole year and I don't see them, like not one time in a whole year. So whatever it takes, I'm going to see them three times this year. And if that means me going there three times, that's what that means. But there's actually nothing like getting in-person time. And in previous years, I've made resolutions that are like, I'm going to call more, send more presents or things like that. And this year, three might seem like very little, but three is all my wallet can take right now. And then as always, whatever it takes to do right by my grandparents, my Grammy and Papa out here, I'm going to do whatever that takes to do my best to give them another year of health and love and guidance. I say that on a day that I got into a horrific fight with Grammy this morning. But actually, one of my friends told me today that they think me fighting with Grammy keeps her young. So I will take that and think it might be valid. Because I don't let her get away with saying anything that is even remotely close to old people shit. Like, you know, if she comes at me with any kind of conservative values, I'm like, let me show you some literature, my dear. So, yeah, at just maintaining a relationship with them where I try to give them all the things they need, even when that's not things that they want to hear. And Grammy just learned this month how to listen to podcasts. So if you're listening to this, Grammy, I mean it. Stay young forever, babe.
Grammy's a badass, and I'm not saying that just because she might be listening. I actually have never seen Roxy happier than when she's on a Zoom with us when she's in Boston with her family.
Yeah.
Literally the happiest little Boston bird that unfortunately loves the Patriots, yeah.
I know. I don't let myself – people always ask, like, where do you like better? And I hate that question. Because it's not relevant to my life. I cannot live there for what I want to do with my life. So I don't get to ask myself, where would I rather live? Because one of these places I have to live. So it's just not helpful for me to decide, like, what do I like better? When probably in my soul, we all know what I like better. But it's just not helpful. So the more I can get there, the better. But even if it means them coming here or whatever, just there's nothing like being with my family because I'm so fucking lucky to have a good one that, like, really supports me and brings me a lot of joy, and it sucks that I have a great family that I never see. I mean, I just never get to see them.
Are you gonna try to see them like every 4 months, or not as much pressure in that?
I was trying to map it out, so I know that I have Thanksgiving that I go there every year, so I'll be there next November, so that's in a year from now. I know I'll be there, so I'm like, okay, what are two other times I could be there, or two other places I could meet them or something.
Mm-hmm.
I have a wedding in Massachusetts in June and one in September. At this point, I don't know that I can afford either of them. So if I can, then I will try to stop there before I go. The weddings are in Martha's Vineyard in Nantucket, so I'll try to stop and see my family. And if I can't, then I'm going to try to see if they might be able to meet me somewhere. But yeah, in my head, I was like, okay, three times. What are those three times? But yeah, Steph, so based on your calculations, it probably would be like a spring, summer, fall kind of sitch.
Winter, spring, summer, or fall. That was Steph, by the way, singing.
Thanks for giving me the credit.
All you have to do is call. Steph, what's the next line?
And then I'll answer before you fall. For family resolutions for me, this actually, my resolution came from a conversation I had with my sister. We talk on the phone together almost every day, and a lot of times there's just silence because we're getting ready for our days together and just kind of like to have each other's presence there. And she said something along the lines of, I know you told me that one time that you don't talk as much on the phone with me because like you finally feel like you feel the most comfortable with me because I'm your best friend. Like you don't have to like keep the conversation moving forward. But like I just want to make sure that you like want to talk to me kind of thing. Something like that. It was like really adorable. And I was actually really happy that she said that, because I do think, at least me, but I think this is a universal thing, that sometimes with our family members, we like shed all the layers and kind of give them our rawest version. And for me, I think sometimes that I wasn't as intentional or as present with some of my family. So I really want to be very intentional and present about whenever I'm talking to them or with them. I am fully there and kind of have intentions to some of the conversations, especially with people like my grandparents who won't be there with us that much longer, hopefully as long as possible. But what questions do I want to get? Like, what conversations do I want to have with them when I see them on, whenever I see them next? So I just want to be more intentional in my conversations and really being there with each and every family member and loved one that I have.
What would be an example of what you mean, Steph? Like, I'm trying to figure out what your sister meant by, I want to make sure you want to talk to me, as in she didn't just want to sit in silence. She wants you to be more vocal, or?
I think she doesn't care about a lot of the times we're sitting in silence getting ready for the day, but most of the time we're talking a lot. But sometimes she's so curious that she's like probing me on all these questions, and sometimes I'm like 5 minutes into the conversation and realize that I'm giving her like a super laid back, non-detailed answers, and I'm not like fully interacting with her and giving her like the true details of my life, because I think that there's like this comfort there and I'm like, oh, I already said it to whoever it was. And so I think she's just like, it was like a little sweet way of being like, I want to hear more details, but I want to make sure that you want to give me the details, kind of. And it just gave me this like, even if it wasn't necessarily like fully connected, I interpreted it as, oh, like I want to be more interactive anytime I'm speaking to them, for the same reason you were talking about. We only get so much time with our family, even though I'm really lucky that they're in San Diego. It's still not that much time because none of us are here that long on earth. So just a mindset shift of intentionality and all the conversations I have with them, because they all matter.
That's nice of her to just like be like trying to not be pushy. Just be like, hey, you know, I want to be close to you, but you know, tell me what you want, but just so you know, if you want to tell me everything, I'm game. That's a nice little way of doing that. As I sit here and listen to these two ladies talk about their beautiful relationships with their families, meanwhile, if I had a resolution, it would just be like, hopefully they won't scream at me this year.
I get yelled at a decent amount too, though. Dee, I feel you.
I think it's in different ways, but yes,
totally. One of the things that you said, Steph, that I think is really valuable that I advise people to all the time is about being intentional in terms of asking questions with your grandparents. So I think that this is such an important thing that we forget about as people get older. And a lot of times people will come to me when they have a sick parent, because again, I can't go through a single podcast without mentioning that my mom died. It seems to be my fucking MO, but they'll ask me, you know, like, do you have any advice, whatever. And I think that our initial instinct when somebody is sick or somebody is elderly is to ask them questions about ourselves, such as like give them details on your life and ask what they think about certain things. Or, you know, with my mom, I spent a lot of time like, what do you think my life will look like? Who do you think I'll be? What kind of person do you think I should end up with? What do you think about if I did this job? Or how do you feel about this guy in my life? Or whatever it is. And I'm so upset that I did not have the perspective or wherewithal to know that I didn't. Those are the questions you can come up with answers to yourself. At the end of the day, you kind of know what your grandparents want for you. They want for you to be happy and successful and whatever that means to you. What you can't ever get back is asking them questions about themselves and learning about their life. And those are the things that like plague me, because I didn't ask the right questions. And now I do work really hard in my family relationships to learn, where did you grow up? What was that like for you? Why are you like this? What is your favorite recipe? Where was your favorite trip that you ever took? Things that once somebody is gone, there's literally no way to ever learn about them. And the only thing you can know, you can't guess. The only way you could know is by asking your parents or your grandparents or whoever questions about themselves and being intentional about every conversation, wanting to learn and wanting to like soak that in.
That's so interesting, Roxy, because I guess it makes sense that when you're younger, you're trying to navigate life and therefore wanting to ask advice from family and like about what you should be doing and your life goals. But then I guess eventually you grow out of being a kid and being like, I was a weird kid, so I was like, I don't want anybody's advice ever. But I do understand that shift of like becoming an adult and being like, no, like this isn't about me anymore. I want to get to know you, the person, especially if it's somebody that's been like taking care of you. It's like you've been dealing with my bullshit. Give me your bullshit and let me learn about you as a human being.
Right. Definitely, Dee. It's that shift from I want your advice to actually I'm an adult. I don't need your advice. I'm a full person now. Who are you? Because I've been a child and not aware of who you are. And I think a lot of us are like that with our grandparents. You two in particular were extremely close with your grandmas. So you probably have a lot of information about them. But a lot of people have no relationships with their grandparents. And that's sad that once they're gone, it wasn't like they don't have Instagram pages that we can stalk. They don't have all of these things that you can learn about them. Like you either asked the questions or you didn't.
Yeah. And just being realistic with my loved ones, when they're aging, there's, you know, dementia and forgetfulness and it's just a reminder of how precious the time is. So I wish 21-year-old me asked all the questions. I probably would have gotten better answers, but alas, here I am. I'll get good enough answers. But if you're younger, ask them now. Moving on to the next category, relationships. I'm curious, Rox and I check in with Dee like every week about where we are with relationships and what our goals are. And they seem to switch a lot. Curious what you're going into 2023 thinking in regards to relationships, Rox.
My line of the year is I only want to be with someone exceptional for me. So I kind of feel like last year I went in with a very settled mindset. Like I'm so fucking lonely and just so badly want to find my person that I dated some really shitty people this last year that were big old wastes of my time. That like just took up a lot of my time that I'll never get back. And so this next year, I really only want to, and I'm going to, if you're dating, you're dating frogs at some point, you know, nobody just dates all A+ people, but I'm going to be really intentional about only ending up with somebody who's exceptional for me. And I don't know that I am capable of finding that person this year because I have so many work goals. And if I do find him, great, but I kind of am off of my love life game for a second. Like my not off of my game, as in I'm still dating and like with setups and whatever, but it's really genuinely not going to be my focus this year because I've just waited 31 years and when it comes, it's going to come. And you can't will that or force that. And I don't want to be with somebody just because I'm lonely.
Totally, Roxy. And you, I still think that people need, like you said, dating, you're calling it dating frogs, right? Like, because sometimes you just want to have sex, man.
Totally.
Like sometimes that's what the people need. That's what the lady down there is asking for. It's like, look, it's been a dry spell. You know, let's just at least have some fun. So I'm still, even though I completely agree that the people that you hung out with this year weren't particularly somebody that I'd be like, you should marry that, except for that one guy. You know who I'm talking about. I still think you should marry that one guy.
No, you don't, though.
But I get what you're saying about expending all this time and energy, right? It is a lot of energy, which is why I hated dating. I never did it because it's so much energy. It becomes a full-time job. And if your priorities are obviously not that, then you're doing what's smart. You're like, hopefully it comes. Hopefully I meet somebody cool, but it should be fucking easy because the hard part is you're focusing on your work and like you have all these goals set up for your career. So it's like if he shows up, cool, but you don't need to go looking for him every day.
Yeah, and like you said, with the guy downstairs, sometimes I do think my vagina is a man, but that's a different point. I can find sex when I need sex, and sometimes I do need sex, and then I go and find it, where whatever, whether it's circling back or whatever it is. But when I say exceptional for me, I also mean that some of the guys I dated this year, it's not that they were bad people. They might be great for somebody else, but I'm looking for something really specific. I'm not looking for somebody who's just a great guy. I'm looking for a great guy, but I've created a very intense life, and they have to be able to be the right fit for that life. And so it's not just somebody exceptional, it's somebody exceptional for me. And yeah, just different mindset. Last year, I was just like, I just want somebody nice and good that I can settle down with and be with. And that's actually not what I want.
I am, we're not that far off the same page per usual with this shit. Last year was the first year in years that I was open to the idea of dating and dating to find my person and not just like date to like have fun. And then this year, in 2023, I'm going to turn 30. And there's like a lot of pressure, obviously, around that number. And then I was like, I'm just going to chill the fuck out. That's literally what my resolution is. Chill the fuck out. Because it will happen when it's supposed to happen. And now I finally feel like as we get older, we kind of like collect these infinity stones of wisdom. And this year, like something I'm so happy about is that I feel like this was the first year that I can identify, not with full 100% certainty, but with a pretty high certainty, what a certain guy will be useful for. Like when you meet someone, you could know pretty quickly, are they there for a good time? Is this just a texting, flirting situation? Is this for a few dates that are fun dancing? Or is this someone who actually has real potential? So I feel very comfortable moving into this next year being like, I'm not going to make the same mistakes I did last year. I think I'm relinquishing myself of a lot of the stress, and it's just like, ride the wave, babe. It's fine.
Fine and fun.
Yeah, and fun. And fun when you know. And then it's like, cool, no surprises. I knew you were going to be like this.
Well, you're kind of already doing it, Steph, because I think meeting a person that is actually showing you what it's like to not interact in a toxic way and that actually is treating you with the respect and the awesomeness that you are, I think you're actually just taking it day by day, but also enjoying it. And having it, like taking it slow versus like either jumping into something that you know is not healthy for you, or the opposite, which is just rejecting everybody because you're like, nah, I don't want to do it. I want to hide in my home.
Exactly. So I feel like I'm finding good balance with relationships and in Dorina's lingo, like how much society forces this idea of this timeline down our throats of when we should be doing certain things. And that's just, Roxy and I aren't going to be on the same timeline as our lawyer and business friends who, you know, like did the regular path of met their person at 25, got married, and now are on to their first, second, third kid. And that's cool because we're going to be making movies and shit, and then will happen when it's supposed to happen.
Yeah, definitely. I like what you said too, Dee, though, about like Steph already doing it. And I like what Steph said about being able to kind of like put these people in boxes almost when you meet them. Not in a way that it's bad, but as we referenced before, there's a guy that I had sex with this year named Bet. And the second I met him, I was like, this is a good time. It wasn't like, is this my forever guy? It was like, oh, I'm stoked to find somebody who's a really great time for this purpose. And that's actually the first time in my life I've ever done that, in my entire life. And like you, Steph, I feel as if now when I meet somebody, even if I want to go on a date or if I want to have sex with them, I know very quickly, are you here for a lifetime? Are you here for a moment? Are you here for a good time? Like, what is my intention with you? And I'm always willing to admit when I'm wrong. Sometimes people change your mind. But I'm pretty good at this point being like, this is a person I want to fuck. This is a person I want to be my hobby.
Yes, I feel like that's been such a cool unlocked level for us.
Definitely. I didn't have that before.
You guys leveled up in the words of Nintendo and Sierra. That's pretty funny, though. I know I'm not making resolutions other than I hope I'm still with my two dudes and that they don't die.
That's good.
You can't really. This is the problem with resolutions. You can't really resolute that they don't die. We can hope.
That's what hope.
Yeah. She's a bruja, so maybe.
Fingers crossed.
Something that Dee, I know she doesn't make specific resolutions, but always is thinking about how she can make the world a better place. Roxy and I have been spending quite a bit of time being like, all right, like enough fucking talking. What the fuck are we going to do for the world other than just talking about it on our platforms and sharing information? What's some of the things you came up with, Rox?
Man, this one is overwhelming because I think all three of us care about so many causes that sometimes you don't really know what to do with yourself. And in the past, I've been extremely, this sounds stupid, but like altruistic, I guess, in terms of I dropped out of high school to work at the Children's Hospital in Boston. I have was a Girl Scout, as you guys know, the whole thing is volunteering. I spent so much of my life giving back or giving that I feel disgusting these days because I'm doing almost nothing. You know, not almost nothing. On the World Girls, we definitely have given a lot of money to different charities. And I do show up for certain things, like when my friends have clothing drives or food drives. But compared to what I used to do, I just feel like my place in society, I've not been doing the best that I can do. And I know that for a fact. And it doesn't feel good. Even for selfish reasons, I feel bad about myself because I am more capable of doing more good and I'm not doing that. So I think that something I did this year that I would like to do next year as well is definitely participate a lot in the National Brain Tumor Society and their walks and get involved volunteering with them. It's one of the causes I care most about for obvious reasons. Once again, can't make it 20 minutes in the podcast. Did you guys know? Yeah. Do y'all know that my mom died of brain cancer? Dope. So I really want to. This year I won a sweatshirt. It was sick because my sister and I raised a bunch of money and I would like to do that again. But on top of that, I really would like to find one place that I can commit myself to several times this year. And not would like to, I'm going to. So I'm not positive yet and I need to do more research, but it's either going to be some kind of shelter because I think I can do a lot of good because I used to in Boston volunteer at a battered woman shelter. And there's so much that you can do there, like babysitting while people are going on job interviews or whatever it is. Even though I suck with kids. I don't know if people should leave me with their children. I'm like, sup, kid? How we doing today, my dude? But I'm going to find a place. I don't know exactly what it is yet. And because I'm going to start with one thing. It's been too overwhelming to try to help all different causes. So I'm going to pick a place and I'm going to try to at least do it a few times this year. I would like my goal to be loftier than that. But as of this moment, that's my plan. I'm going to pick one location, maybe with you guys, maybe with a friend, whatever it is, and commit myself to at least a few times this year, showing up and dedicating myself to actually giving a fuck and helping somebody.
Love hearing that, Roxy, because you are very correct that it is overwhelming in how many things you can help, especially locally. And I've certainly had issues trying to focus, right? Because you only have so much energy outside of your own daily lives to like also want to help your communities. And it's great to volunteer. But I've certainly run into the issues of like, all right, so there's this food bank and then there's this homeless shelter. And then there's this campaign for like, you know, local politicians that are progressive and don't seem corrupt. And like you kind of have to figure out where you're going to put that energy. So a recommendation I would make is literally it's to find organizations that you actually respect and love and like know that they're not shitty and are going to throw away money. And so once you find something like that, you eventually end up like joining that organization, volunteering, and then you meet like-minded people. And that's happened to me by joining local campaigns and things like that. The Kenneth Mejia for City Controller LA campaign, like all of the people that are there are really cool, chill people that are literally just trying to help their community. And they're involved in other organizations that you can join. So you kind of just like make friends through those organizations. And so you obviously did it back at home, but you can do the same thing locally in LA.
I love that, Dee, because I was so impressed by you helping Kenneth Mejia's campaign this year, because not only were you working your butt off and really cared about it, but it worked. Like people like you actually made it so that he won. And you can actually make a difference if you do give a shit and if you do dedicate yourself to something instead of kind of bopping around. And you're right that you have to do it for a company you care about, because otherwise you end up ringing the bell for Salvation Army and then looking into Salvation Army and realizing, oh my fucking God, who am I helping? Which like is so scary, you know, if you don't actually research the people that you think you're doing good. And then all of a sudden it's like, ah, no.
Totally. And even if you do it, like I went canvassing ages ago for the first time for Bernie back in like the primaries with him and like Hillary and all that stuff. And like I did that one time. I did it later on again several times. But just doing it even once a year, you're still helping. Like you're still knocking on people's door and talking to people and talking to like older people, older generation that are misinformed. And then like this young person comes in and is like, hey, let me like help educate you on what's going on. And like these are issues that you care about and affect you. Like it's just really cool to do stuff like that.
Yeah, as we're talking about it, I'm like, you know what, kids I suck with, but elderly people I'm fucking excellent with. There might be something to that. I'll keep you guys posted.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I know that there's a lot of elderly people who don't have family where they are anymore, and so they don't have like that connection that every human needs. As Roxy always talks about her mom dying of brain cancer, I seemingly always bring up the Dalai Lama in different readings.
Similar.
Yeah, very similar.
It's like super similar in a lot of ways.
Really, really good. And one thing that he's kind of mastered the idea of joy and cultivating joy. And one of the most undisputed things as humans is that connection and helping others makes us happier. This is scientifically proven, and it is just cool to think about that that's how we're hardwired, but we kind of get so far away from that. And I'm the same way as Rox. Like my entire life, the organizations I've always worked with, because my mom's such a bad bitch in these areas, is helping survivors of sex trafficking and DV. And I've just gotten so far away from that. So this year, I want to get involved with at least one house, specifically a shelter, and try to do that. I want to say once a month, but I think saying a couple times a year is a little bit better to see, because I don't know what the organization will have to offer, right? So I just want to be like looser with my verbiage on that. But definitely with a specific organization that I can, like, it could be like a part of me, right? Like, I like that idea of what Dee's talking about, where you commit to one thing and then have this stronger connection. As opposed, I think it is good to do like the food drives here and there, but there's something cool in being able to start something and watch it grow, like the campaign Dee was involved with.
Yeah, no, Stefan, for sure what you're saying. If you volunteer one time at a food bank, if you volunteer one time canvassing, that's fine. I think that's great, even if you just do it one time. But I think finding community in other people and in a group of people that's just trying to help other people, and that's what they want to do, is a beautiful thing. And it makes you feel way better about the world. It's like the opposite of going on Twitter and reading the news.
Yeah, you're like, oh, yeah. And as we're saying it, like, we get asked quite often about for people who are lonely, which so many of us are, like, how do you find friends? How do you make connections with people? This is something I don't think we've ever talked about, but joining organizations that you're passionate about and meeting fellow volunteers who care about those same things. I really can't think of many other ways to meet cooler fucking people than that. I, that this is a really, really good way to do that. So the last topic that we have is just other, because there's always some things that either of that it, as us as individuals want to work on or heard about this year. So Rox, do you have any in that category?
Yeah, I do. I have a couple of my big ones in here, because one of the things that isn't on our list is like health and wellness. And I do think it's always important to kind of what are your health and wellness needs? Is it mental health? Is it physical health?
Are you actually going to try to get some sleep this year?
No. I'm saving that for later. No, Darina, don't call me out like that. Actually, I was listening to this really interesting podcast this week. And just to be clear, TikToks are what I call podcasts now. And they were talking about how much more sleep women need than men because of the way that our hormones process, which is wild. And I started looking into it, and women need on average 2 more hours of sleep a night than men in order to like have their highest functioning. And I was like, oh my God, I'm fucked. Like, maybe all my femme has gone out the window with my lack of sleep.
It's amazing how many times a year, like at least a few times, that Roxy will find something like, oh, I just read this thing that says that not sleeping is bad. So I was reading that at 3 a.m. on my bed.
Yes, straight up.
It's like revolutionary news, Roxy. Thank you.
So bad. But one of the things I will say, and again, I do believe at some point this will be a long podcast of ours. We're not there yet. I'm probably years away from being there, but I had the most difficult year of my life this year. And going into this year, prior to February, I was on this like unbelievable stretch goal. Stretch goal is a term. I literally mean a goal of stretching. And it was very, very helpful. I was stretching every day, and I don't know that I need to go back to that. I should go back to that, but I don't know that I will go back to that. So for now, my goal for this coming year is to stretch for 15 minutes twice a week. And I have this like stretch guide that I'm doing, and also twice a week do my posture thing. You guys know I bought that posture thing because my back is fucked up, and I blame that on my boobs, but it really should be blamed on my habits, which are like Hunchback of Notre Dame. So I'm going to start with 2 times a week of stretching and back brace. And I'm going to see how that goes from there. And I'm really excited for it, which is how I feel like I know something's a good goal, because I love stretching and it feels so good. So I'm looking forward to that. And then my other one is based off of something that Dr. Drea said. And if you're listening to this podcast, you might not have heard her say this yet, depending on when we release things. But the thing that Dr. Drea told us is to social media with a purpose. And I have to be on social media so many hours a day because of my jobs that sometimes, as you guys know, all of a sudden my phone will be in my hand and Instagram will be open and I won't even remember going there. And that sucks. So there's part of social media that I cannot change, which is the fact that I run 3 public social media accounts that are all like with a purpose. And that's great. And I love doing that. And I want to continue. But I really want to focus on social media with a purpose. Like, you're getting on there with a reason. So maybe that reason is going to check what Darina did last night, and then I want to get off. Or maybe that reason is to make that one post for World Girls, and then I want to get off. And I really want to catch myself with like that shit that I do where I'm on a walk in the middle of looking at things, and all of a sudden I'm like, when did I open Twitter? Which is crazy.
Yeah, man, that's some scary shit, but it happens to all of us. That's, I told you guys that when I realized I was addicted to Twitter during the lockdown, like 2 years ago, it's an automatic thing. It's kind of like when you don't think about like when you're driving, or when you don't think about like specifically you're focusing on going to the bathroom because it's just automatic. We do this so much and we're on our phones and our computers so much that it's an automatic thing. And that's not good for our brains to just be like, this is like what my body is like reflexes are doing. But it's happened to all of us with all this shit. So I'm glad you're doing that because we all need to.
Yeah, I really, really want to like put it in my brain. And then if I'm opening my app and I didn't know that I'm doing it. I'm going to put my phone across the room and then go get it when I need to do what I have to do. And if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. But like, I don't need to be on there more hours than I need to be on there.
Yeah.
And I'm spending like, I mean, it's disturbing when I looked at my screen time the other day. I'm at like 15 hours.
A day?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Those are good ones though. Specific. I have one that was based off Dr. Drea's episode 2, which is don't look at my phone an hour before bed. I've never done this. I've heard for a long time that it's not great for you, but I haven't even considered doing this. But I am going to do it because my eyes are fatiguing. I have like 4 fucking pairs of blue lens glasses now. Like by the end of the day, my eyes are like, no, we're not watching anything. Like everything's going to be blurry for you now, bitch. Have fun. And that's not good. And I don't need to be on my phone an hour before bed. I really don't. I have books. I like books. I love shows and TV and movies. There's no reason I can set my alarm. So I'm done with that this year.
I have a question for both of you, because these are great resolutions that I hope you all accomplish. And y'all know that my single goal will remain to be happy and show humans they can be happy too by ridding themselves of all their self-imposed social construct cages, including having to make unattainable goals like this. However, I'm very excited for you guys. And are you starting these resolutions literally on New Year's, or are you going to start practicing now?
I always like a slow burn. I like to give myself 2 weeks before to try to like ease into things to see if I need to make adjustments to my goals. So I was thinking about that deep. I'll probably start stretching this week and see how is that feeling on my body. Do I want to up that goal, down that goal? Like what works? The phone thing I started immediately after Dr. Drea talked to us about it to see how I could do it. And it's been really helpful for me. So that and then the rest of them that are like kind of more long-term goals, it's hard to implement today. But yeah, I think that's a really good question. And I think the point you're making is what an arbitrary number January 1st is. And like, why wait if you know what you need to do to better your life? Just
right.
Start doing that. And I think that's very real.
A slow burn sounds good. That makes sense.
The last one that I'm doing is that I started it in the pandemic and I never finished it, The Artist's Way. I think a lot of people have seen this book. One thing that I loved about it, that I loved when I was doing it for the first month, was that one of the very first lessons is to write 3 pages in a journal every morning that you wake up. And it doesn't have to have like any purpose or any prompt or any goal. It's just like to write. And that's like a twofold goal of mine. I want to do The Artist's Way and I want to journal. Because it's just like, as a writer, like there's so many things in our lives that are so cool and like so beautiful and they're happening all the time. And I forget about them. And it's like, I want to be able to look back in my life and have like little written thoughts about the things that stayed on my mind when I wake up. So that I'm actually going to start before the new year, because there's no point. I like saw it today and as I was thinking about what my resolutions are, and it was kind of just staring me in the face like, I picked you and you picked me for your resolution.
Well, I love what you said too about like your eyes are done with you, bitch. It's like
my eyes are done. They're like, read a fucking book, stop this.
I love that stuff. I think that that's beautiful. And one thing that I've heard is exceptional for perfectionists, which is not your jam. Not that you're not perfect in every way, but you don't have like a, that's not your OCD, is to burn them afterwards. So you want to do it as like a record to keep up with what you did. But for perfectionists, writing 3 pages a day and then burning them, because it didn't matter what you wrote. It doesn't matter. The point is not looking back. I've heard that can be extremely liberating and helpful. So if your issue is like, did I do a good job? Like, were my pages up to par? Burn them. Write it and burn it.
That's cool. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, perfect. I don't struggle with perfectionism. Very true. Lastly, we're going to do a Patreon question, patreon.com/theworldgirls, if you want to be able to ask questions. We love hearing from you. This one's from Mike Joyce, who says, are there any New Year's resolutions you kept for an entire year?
Always. I'm excellent at New Year's resolutions. The one thing that I fucked up, to bring it full circle, is this year I actually was hit with something that I was not on my bingo card, and I physically could not do the things that I resolved to do. And it like haunted me. And so I really try to keep up with all of my resolutions. When I am in a relationship too, I really love holding each other accountable for resolutions and making resolutions together. Like sex resolutions, so fun. Trip resolutions, you know, there's a lot of like things that you can do instead of looking at like, oh, I have to do this year. You can sit down with your partner or with yourself and make resolutions that you're stoked to do that are sexy and fun and great. So yeah, I have kept almost all of my resolutions, especially like my workout resolutions that I usually make. I'm really good at sticking to those, and my career resolutions. Those are the two areas that like I said it, I do it.
The one that comes to mind for me is, it was like one that I changed my mindset about, and it had to do with how I approached yoga. I finally found an exercise that became a lifestyle for me and really healing for me and therapeutic. So I was like, oh, I do yoga for me. And so my New Year's resolution was just like, do yoga for you. And then once I like shifted that from like the like back in the day, like exercise, or like how I said in the beginning, get a six pack. None of that shit ever worked. But doing just yoga for me, I do that very consistently almost every week is ever since I made that goal. So that's the main one. Other than that, like I'm not as good, but I'm getting more specific with my resolutions. So hopefully this is the year, and Dee will be watching us with love as we try to achieve this.
Supporting us with love.
Oh, yes. Yes, supporting us. Checking in for sure. Monitoring like a fun hall monitor person. Look, I made myself one promise. I don't know if it was a resolution last year, but to write more music. And I ended up literally doing that. So that's pretty cool. I literally composed the music for this podcast, and I composed music for a short film. So I kept that, if that's a resolution.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge resolution. We don't have to call it that though, Dee, if it makes you uncomfortable.
It makes me extremely uncomfortable.
Just things you manifested.
But I like being uncomfortable.
What about a resi? She made a resi?
Yeah.
Did that help?
No.
That made me uncomfortable in the way I don't like.
Oh.
Yeah, that's boundaries. All right. Well, we hope you slay your New Year's resolutions. And if you don't want to make a single one, fuck yeah. And cheers to your next year, no matter what you decide. If you want to get all things World Girls, go to patreon.com/theworldgirls so you can watch our podcast tapings live, ask questions, see our faces, and get a bunch of cool benefits while being a part of the best community on the internet. You can also email us at contact@theworldgirls.com. We go live on youtube.com/theworldgirls every Monday and Wednesday. And don't forget to follow us on social media, on Twitter and TikTok @theworldgirls and on Instagram @worldgirlswap. We recently started this podcast this year, actually. So we've been loving all of the feedback that we've been hearing from you. Always thirsty to get more feedback from y'all. We really do appreciate you. Make sure you subscribe and leave a review if you haven't already. And remember, we're all gonna die, so don't be a dick and stay wet, my friends.